Hello, church. This is Pastor Bill Winston. Let's get into the Word of God. Now, we're talking about possessing our inheritance. Inheritance is something that's been passed down to us. It's not something we have to work for and earn. It's something that's been passed down to us. And we're talking about that. Now, in this, I want you to keep in mind this principle. The fact that Jesus died and left us a will. And he left us something in the will. The things in the will that he has left in the New Testament are for us. Now, he then was paid the price for us, was raised from the dead, seated at the right hand of the Father. Now, he's executing that will. He's probating that will. He's making it so that we get everything that he left for us. Because there's a thief in the earth called the devil and his bunch, and they're claiming that the things are theirs or trying to steal them or keep them away from us. So now we're going to have a faith in our lives. Now, faith is not something that you can feel, touch, and taste and all of that. It's not that. You just can't cry and get it. You're going to have to operate in faith, and that is believing and have your trust in the Word of God and that alone, not in your feelings, not in what you can see in the natural or anything like that. So this faith is what we're going to need to take what belongs to us. It's our inheritance, but we have to take it. You're not taking it from God because he's not holding it back from you. What you're taking it from is the devil. And what we're going to be discovering here, as these disciples got into the boat with Jesus to go to the other side, they're going to take possession of more land. You see, you and I, as Christians, as believers, as the church, we're here to make earth like heaven. We're here to bring everything that's out of divine alignment back into alignment with the kingdom of God. You see? So we're not to sit, we're to get the word and go. And as we go out there, everything that we encounter, we want to line it up. Jesus cast out devils. He healed the sick. Every work of the devil, he destroyed. You follow what I'm saying? So our charge is the same thing, but we'll have to do it by faith. And as they were crossing by faith, the storm came up. They began to look at their circumstances. And the next thing you know, here comes, they accused Jesus of not caring about him. He woke up, rebuked the wind, said to the sea, "Peace, be still," and there was a great calm. Then he turned to them and said, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" You see, if you look at the news media much, you look at all that stuff, well, the economy is falling, so forth and so on. Hey, you're not supposed to participate in that. You see, if you keep hearing the words of the enemy, fear will come. But if you hear the word of God, faith will come. Praise God. And you're going to have the faith that takes and not the faith that waits. Let's get into the scripture. It's in Romans chapter 4, and I'll start reading at verse 13. "For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith." Now let's go down to verse 16. "Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all." Now, I ask you to underline faith of Abraham. Now, what it says here in verse 13 is that you and I, the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. So the promise was made to Abraham and his seed that he would inherit the world. And we read over in the Living Bible, it says this: "It is clear then that God's promise to give the whole earth to Abraham and his descendants was not because Abraham obeyed God's laws, but because he trusted God to keep his promise." Now, it goes on down and says in verse 16, "Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed." I want to read that one out of the Amplified. Here's what it says: "Therefore, inheriting the promise is the outcome of faith, and depends entirely on faith in order that it might be given as an act of grace, God's unmerited favor, to make it stable and valid and guaranteed to all his descendants." The thing that makes this interesting is the idea that this inheritance is for Abraham and his descendants. And the inheritance is the fact that we would be heirs of the world. We would inherit the world. So we're finding out that it's going to be a faith and entirely depends entirely upon faith that it might, in order that it might be given as an act of grace. Now, this is, I know it sounds convoluted and a little complicated, but it's not. It's very, very simple. But this is why a lot of God's people have not inherited what God has given to them through our Lord Jesus Christ. As we said, that this Bible is the last will and testament of our Lord Jesus Christ, the New Testament, and that He in here tells us what He left us in the will. Now, we have to take possession of this, but we can't take possession of this outside of faith, that it has to be by faith. Now, how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, let's go over to another scripture, over to Galatians chapter 3, please. Over to Galatians chapter 3. And over in Galatians chapter 3, he says in verse 7, "Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham." So he's talking about Abraham and his descendants. But notice who he includes here as his descendants or his children. Those who are of faith. Let me ask you this. Everybody that of faith, raise their right hand. Praise the Lord. You see what I'm saying? Then we are the descendants of Abraham. Well, if we're that, then we're the ones who are supposed to inherit the world. Now, we're going to go further into that in just a moment. Verse 13, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, 'Cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree.'" So the curses, the sicknesses, the diseases, the misfortunes, the things that could contribute to loss in any way, the poverty, the lack, I always have to go in debt and all of that. All of those things under the curse we've been redeemed from. Verse 14, "That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." Verse 16, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said, not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ." So he's not saying seeds here. He's saying seed. Now, he's talking about this inheritance was for Abraham and his seed. But the seed is one. But then we get further clarity on that verse in verse 27. "But for as many as you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither black nor white, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ." It's one, it's not many. "And if you be Christ's, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise that God made to Abraham." So we're here and we're now unfolding this idea about God's promises to Abraham and what those promises entail, and one of them, the fact that he would inherit the world, and that we're the ones that God has sent here to manifest that inheritance. So let me just start now. Let me kind of review some of the things that we talked about last time. We talked about the fact that faith forces you to grow up. Faith forces you to grow up. You know, when people are, you know, little children and dependent on their parents and so forth and so on. Well, at some point, they need to grow up. I mean, having a baby bottle in a mouth at 40 years old is not quite kosher. And so what I'm saying here is that we're now to grow up so that we can be able to receive by faith, our faith, the things that God has for us. And as we're growing up in Him, we'll be able to receive the inheritance that He has for us. Now, I said also that faith takes out the middleman. Now, when I say middleman, I mean somebody to always have to do your praying for you, somebody to always have to do your believing for you. God wants you to do your own believing. What we said is that God has kids, no grandkids. He can take care of all of us at the same time, all His children, and He wants us all to have a relationship with Him personally. So you should have your own devotion time. You should have your own prayer time and things like that, because that brings you into a proper relationship with Him. We also said faith is all we need to win. That when we have faith in our lives, now we know we need love and we need discipline and so forth and so on. But faith, I'm talking about faith now. It is the vital and the master key to having us to win battles in this earth. Now, we're going to see here that we're going to be in a faith fight because we've been using Mark chapter 4 as a backdrop scripture. And as we're in this faith fight, we're trying to get to the other side. Why? We're trying to possess our land, trying to take hold of our inheritance. So we're going to need to get there by faith. Well, let's go over there now. Let's go over to Mark's Gospel chapter 4. Mark's Gospel chapter 4. Now, over in Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, let's see what it says here. Verse 34, "But without a parable spake he not unto them, and when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. And the same day, when the evening was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said to him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" All right, praise the Lord. Let's start in with this now. What we said is that God is not running the world. God is not running the world. The tendency is that people have is they say, you know, I don't know why God is letting all this happen, so forth and so on. And people who don't know the truth say things like that, and because they feel that God is just allowing these things to go on. No. God gave mankind responsibility for this earth. He said, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon this earth. So because God gave that rulership, that dominion, that authority, he gave the caretakership, he gave the stewardship, the ownership over to mankind. Now God's going to have to work through mankind if he wants to do anything in the earth, because the fact that it no longer is in God's hands, it's in the hand of mankind. Now, with that in mind, God now gave man this dominion over all this earth, and the enemy now is trying to run this earth because of Adam's transgression, given over to Satan his authority, and now Satan is taken off and running the earth. Now, so God is not running the earth. The devil is running it. But God is running the church. And because God sent Jesus to redeem humanity, now humanity is in a place where humanity has the dominion back. And now the believer can have authority over Satan. So we can tell Satan what to do. Now, I want you to see something, because right here we saw this storm kicked up and it was about to sink this boat. And they woke up Jesus and he then took authority. Now, what he did is said, hey, where is your faith? Why are you so fearful? Because they were supposed to take authority. He's trying to take the middleman out now. True enough, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. We know that. But I'm talking about right here in this earth, having somebody to have to do all your praying for you and so forth. He's trying to get God's endeavoring to get his people to grow up. So when we look at this, let's look at Luke. Now hold something right at that place, but let's go to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. It's a very interesting verse. Luke chapter 10. All right. Over in Luke chapter 10, this is in the first verse, we see where Jesus sent out the disciples. Look what he says here. After these things, the Lord appointed another 70 and sent them two and two before his face to every city and every place where he himself would come. And therefore he said unto them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Notice what he said. He said, for him to send forth laborers into his harvest in this earth, some believer is going to have to pray. You know, he just can't send them out. So notice what he's doing now. He's putting this earth in our hands. See, it's time for blaming God and so forth. We gotta stop that because we have some authority. We have something to say about what goes on in this earth. It's our responsibility. So notice what he said also here after he sent them out. And now, if you look here in verse 17, he said, and the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Wow. Now, that's pretty strong. Notice what he said he gives them. He gives them power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the devil. Now, all means none or nothing left out. That all the power of the devil. Now, here's the key. What is it that the devil has caused? You see, people won't take authority over it if they're not sure it's not from God. And what happens is, well, you know, the Lord is trying to teach me something. You know, now the devil is busy trying to beat their head in. And they say, well, you know, God, that's how he works in mysterious ways. Sometimes he teaches us something through sickness and so forth. Oh, God will use any situation to teach you something. But God didn't send a sickness. And the first thing you got to realize is that God didn't send that storm. Neither did he send the storm back in Job in chapter 1. The storm that killed Job's kids, the storm that wiped Job out, God didn't send that. He's not in the business of killing kids. He didn't do it. So I'm saying the Bible says in James 4, 7, draw nigh to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Religion always puts you in a place of non-resistance. That's the way you can tell it's religion. You can't figure out, well, I don't know whether this is God or not. People don't fight it off if they think it's God. I mean, if people knew that, for example, somebody gets sick and they say, well, you know, the Lord's trying to teach me something. Well, don't take the medication. Just be taught. Why take the medication? Oh, you follow them, say, they don't believe that. See, God is good. God is love. God is busy trying to get people healed and delivered and saved and off cocaine and out of jail and so forth. God is a God that's a good God. So I'm saying it's interesting. If you're not sure that God didn't do it, faith won't be there to resist it. And the faith comes where the will of God is known. And when you're not sure about the will of God, it's interesting how faith doesn't manifest. It doesn't come to the degree that you can make this thing stop or make it or resist it or get it out or change it or whatever you have to do. So that's key. So I want to let you know that one, God is not running the world. This is the devil that brought that storm. Why? He thinks the world is his. Why? He was the one that actually stole it from Adam and even tempted Jesus with it. Come on over there. Let's look at that. I didn't plan to go to this. Let's go to Luke's gospel, Luke chapter 4. Very interesting scripture. Luke chapter 4. Look what it says here in Luke chapter 4 and verse 5. And the devil taketh him up to a high mountain, took Jesus up there, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give you, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. Now listen what he said. Now this, all this will I give you, Jesus, and the glory of them. That means the wealth of them. It was delivered to me. Adam gave it over to me. He's saying what happened. And look at the next verse. Verse 7, If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. Now Jesus said, Satan, get thee behind me, Satan. He didn't take it. Why? Because if I studied in business when I was in business school. Here's what the professor said. He said, always remember this. If anybody ever gives you power, they can always either control you with it or take it back at will. I never forgot that. Now that is a profound truth. And see, the devil was trying to give Jesus something here. Why? Because he was after control. And he was also after taking it back at will. In other words, Jesus, get out of line, just take it back. I mean, think about it. God gave us an anointing, gave people anointing in the Old Testament, and they got out of line. God took it back. You know what I mean? So I'm just saying here, the enemy is trying to give him something. But my point to you is, he doesn't have to give you a thing. Faith takes. Boy, that's powerful, isn't it? Faith takes. Everything that's in this Bible, this New Testament, that's yours and the will that Jesus left for you, his last will and testament, belongs to you. And faith takes it. It doesn't ask the devil what he thinks about it. It doesn't ask permission for it. It goes in and just takes it. The Bible said the violent take it by force. You don't want the devil to give you anything. He'll try to control you with it and so forth. How many people have taken bribes or all this and end up being controlled? You don't have to do that. You've got faith, and faith that takes, not the faith that waits. Now, so as we go on down here, we look at this old idea of ownership. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, please. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Oh, this is good. Now, over in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Oh, doesn't that sound pretty? A lot of people quote that scripture. Never walked in faith the day of their life. The day of their life. But they can quote that scripture. We got to get past quoting, folks. You see, they received Jesus even as he was in the ship. That's what it said. Even as he was. See, you can mentally assent to these scriptures. Oh, do you believe the Bible, brother? Oh, yeah, praise God. How much of it do you believe? From Genesis to Revelation. Praise God, I believe it. Are you sick? Yeah, oh, man, I've been sick for four or five years. You see what I'm saying? Now, I'm not saying deny sickness, but deny its existence to have any dominion over you. The idea about it is the Bible says, by his stripes you're healed. Are you following what I'm saying? And when it comes to actually living out what that says in the scriptures, those people who are assenting to faith but don't really have real faith, the faith of Abraham, then they just assent to it. They all talk about how true it is, and oh, you'll read scripture, they get up and shout and run around the church and knock over the church benches and carry it on. Oh, just act up. But when it comes to having victory in their house, when it comes to having victory in their finances, when it comes to having victory over something coming in their body, and it comes to having victory over a situation at the job, so forth and so on. Oh, can you do my praying, Pastor? You need to pray for me, so forth. Now, I'm not saying I don't pray for people. I do it every day. The point to it is there's a place where you need to develop your own faith. Suppose you can't get a hold of anybody. Now what you gonna do? You see? And so this is what the enemy has been taking advantage of. The God's people have not been walking in the faith of Abraham or the God kind of faith. Now, I want to read that same scripture out of the Amplified translation. Now, faith is assurance and confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Now, I want you to, two parts of that I want you to see. One, that faith is the title deed. Now, what does the title deed say? The title deed said, basically, I own it. It's mine. One man talked about false prosperity. He said, false prosperity is when you got three cars in the driveway, all of them you have them in your driveway and they're driven by your family and so forth and so on. But the title is in the bank for all three of them. Oh, we waving. Hey, girl, how you doing? So forth and so on. That's all right. But somewhere you got to get the title, because there's something that changes in you when it becomes yours. When you're not renting anymore and now you own it, something shifts on the inside. I can guarantee you right now. And a lot of times the enemy is getting away with things on this earth because God's people never took ownership of it. As a matter of fact, one man came here and preached. He said the only reason that Satan could get away with what he got away with in the Garden of Eden is because Adam never took ownership. You see, when you take ownership, you'll kick him out. When you take ownership of your body, you will refuse to let sickness come in there. You will battle that thing, I'm telling you, wage war. And we're going to talk about some of that because you are in a fight. If you've been born again and you're hearing the word of God, you are in a fight, whether you know it or not. But you win. And that's called the good fight of faith. So here, I'm just saying that faith is the title deed. And it says here that faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. As real fact what is not revealed to the senses. So what you can't see in the natural, see, feel, touch, taste, smell, what you can't see in the natural, faith perceives it as real fact. It is real. As a matter of fact, you can get more real in the spirit than you can in the natural. That's a secret a lot of people don't know. Well, let me keep going down here. So, now, what's real? The Word of God. Because the Bible says over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, while we look not at the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen, they're eternal. Well, what's not seen? The Word of God. Well, what are we going to do? Manifest it. So let's go to one of the words here that I want to give you that we want to make sure that we understand. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Are you with me so far? Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Very simple scripture, but very profound. All right? Now, we're going to read the Bible. This is the last will and testament. It's talking about who you are, where you are, what you can do, what you have. And look what it says here in the 21st verse. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Can I add a scripture, a part of that? Yours in this life. You know, there are people that seemingly want to put it off till they get to, oh, when we get to heaven, brother, we're going to shout all over there. We're going to have mansions and so forth. Hey, wait. Let me read it again. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours now. So now, this is the Apostle Paul. This is the revelation of the Apostle Paul. Now you can see why the devil was tracking him around this earth trying to kill him. Because he's bringing out things like this, that all things are yours. Now, the problem is if somebody believes that. You see, the Bible says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, of Jesus Christ, because it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that'll believe it. See, it's got his own power to bring itself to pass. If you'll believe it, receive it, and act on it, all things are yours. Look what he said in the next verse. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas. Now, Cephas is Peter, but Paul, Apollos, and Peter, they were ministry gifts to the body of Christ. So they were teachers. They were people who brought revelation to the body of Christ. Or the world. The world is yours. Or life. Life is yours. Or death. Meaning death can have dominion over you. You have dominion over death. You mean we're not going to die? Yeah, you're going to die, but you make the appointment. Praise God. The grim reaper just can't come in your room at night and snuff your life out. No, and death. Or things present or things come, watch this, all are yours. Then it goes on down and says, and you are Christ and Christ is God. Wow, but all things are yours. Now somebody say, well, that's all spiritual things, brother. Well, see, again, trying to rationalize ourselves out of what the scripture is saying. So now as we look at this, let's verify it. Let's go to another one. Let's go to Psalms chapter 115, please. Psalm chapter 115. There's nothing like using one scripture to prove out another. Oh, that's exciting. All right. Psalm chapter 115. Look what it says in verse 16. The heavens, even the heavens are the Lord's, But the earth he's given to the children of men. The children of men are you and I. That's who's given the earth to. Now, I'm just saying all these things are ours. And the problem is that, one, people have been trying to work for them. Oh, we do work, folks, but we're not working trying to earn a living. No more, no, not the same as you didn't work to earn your salvation. You don't have to do that. That's all. This is your inheritance. You don't work for inheritance. He said it's by faith and faith alone, because it's got to be by grace. Now, what happens sometimes, we're trying to compete with the world and trying to get things on the basis of the world, and this thing is just not working. So all things are ours. Now, I'm still proving this scripture out. So he says, the earth hath he given to the children of men. Now, I looked up a scripture because what happens is sometimes people trying to figure out how would God give them those things. But I looked at Psalm chapter 44. Let's go over here in Psalm chapter 44. Very interesting. Psalm chapter 44. Verse 1. We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days in the times of old, how thou didst drive out the heathen with thy hand and planted them, how thou didst afflict the people and cast them out. For they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arms save them. They didn't get it by their own strength. But thy right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hadst favor unto them. You know, I was looking that up over here in the Living Bible. It says, they did not conquer by their own strength and skill, but by your mighty power, and because you smiled upon them and favored them. How about the Amplified translation? For they got not the land of Canaan in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but your right hand and your arm and the light of your countenance did it, because you were favorable toward and did delight in them. So he's saying that this possession, this land, what God's giving you, he's not giving you because of your own strength. He's not giving you because of your own academic background. All those things are fine. But these things are coming by grace. And to get grace to operate, you have to do it by faith. So, what is the enemy after? He is after faith. So what do we find out? That you're in a fight. What kind of fight are you in? You're in a faith fight. Satan's greatest weapon to the people of God is ignorance. Now, how does this faith work? Well, everything in this earth that you obtain that has to do with things is obtained, for the most part, by money, if you agree to that. By money. Money is the thing that people use to get it. So people work long hours for money, and people do strange things for money. Why? Because they need money so that they can get some stuff. They can get some things. Now, it's called a medium of exchange. In other words, we can give somebody money, we can get some dental care. We can give somebody some money, we can get school tuition paid. We can get somebody money, so forth and so on. So money stands between the person and the things that they desire, whether it be clothes or whatever have you. Now, in the kingdom, in the spirit realm, think of faith just like you think of money. Because the more money you have, the more things you can get. The more faith you can generate, the more you can do in the realm of the spirit, the more you can possess. And in this, faith like money has to come. In other words, they work for money to get money. But faith cometh how? By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith like money can increase. Remember over in Luke chapter 17, the disciples told Jesus, increase our faith, because he told them that if somebody offends them 7 times 7, then they're going to have to forgive them. And he said, oh, you had to give me some more faith for that. So faith can start at one level and just continue to grow up into another level, a higher level. And faith also, like money, must be released for you to do anything good, or for you to get what faith is. is you're believing for. In other words, if you go to the checkout counter and you check it out, well, here's the groceries, well, you got to give them some money. Well, the same thing about faith. If I want to take some land, if I want to take a healing, I want to whatever have you, faith is going to have to be what I have to use to get it, to make the exchange. Now, what is the enemy out to do? He's out to separate you from your faith. He's out to make your faith depart from you. And that is exactly what he did when he got a hold of the disciples out there on that sea and caused that storm to come. Now, when he caused the storm to come, they then left the word and went over into their natural abilities to try to get over. And there is no way that you're going to be able to defeat Satan without faith. You cannot do it. Now, somebody else may pray for you, and that might happen that way. But you can't defeat him without faith. I'm just saying that the enemy has set up forces around you to try to steal your faith. He's probably put negative people around you to get you out of the positive, over into the negative, to try to steal your faith. And sometimes he affects your attitude. Sometimes people get emotional and so forth like that. Why? To steal your faith. And he talks about all of that in Mark chapter 4. But my point to you is the enemy doesn't want you to rise in faith. These disciples were on an assignment to go to the other side. And what we said is that the enemy comes to attack your assignment. He comes to make it so that you can't fulfill the plan that God has for your life. Now, he might attack the family, he might attack anything, but you gotta be discerning, see? You gotta know that it's him. The storm was not caused by God. If it were caused by God, Jesus couldn't have rebuked it. But it wasn't caused by God. So Jesus could take authority over that storm. Remember what I said over in Luke chapter 10, he's given you power, authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the devil, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Not a thing. So you have power and authority over everything that the devil has put out here. Let me show you a scripture. Turn to Psalm 47, please. Psalm 47. I want you to see this scripture. I want you to see this. Watch this now. Now, if it's in the will, if it's in this Bible, here, this is part of what is ours. We've got a better covenant. Better covenant doesn't mean that they cancel out the first and you took all, and you got something totally different. Better covenant means you got what was good in the first one, and they included that in the second covenant, in the new covenant, and you add, and Jesus added to that. Now look what it says here in the first covenant. Verse 9. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. Glory. Now, remember in the last days, there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. Remember what I told you? You and I are responsible for this earth. Boy, this is good preaching here. I don't care what you say. You and I are responsible for this earth. Notice, he maketh wars to cease. Well, that's the Lord. Jesus said, the things that I do, can you do also? I'm saying, saints of God, we have the authority over this earth that if Satan starts a war, we can make it cease. Man, get that. I'm telling you. Now, I'm saying, wait, now, Pastor, wait a minute. Now, I didn't know that before. Well, you know it now. My point to you is how you can't hear without a preacher. Turn over there. Romans chapter 10. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 10. Woo, this is good. Romans chapter 10. Folks, we have authority over all the ability of the devil, and nothing shall by any means hurt us. This is the authority that we have. Now, we need to exercise this. We need to take ownership over the earth, not let the enemy just do anything in this earth that he wants to do. That storm came up. Jesus woke up. Whoa. Now, wait, what's up here? Peace, be still. And let me, there was a great calm. I'm talking about not wait till the storm pass. I'm talking about immediately. See, it stopped now. Praise God. Look what it says here in Romans chapter 10. And look at verse 11. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. Well, how then shall they call on him who they've not believed? Well, how can they believe on him who they've not heard? Well, how can they hear without a preacher? How can they hear without a preacher? Now you see why Jezebel was after the prophets. Why? Because they received from God the revelation and dispensed it to the people. They could even tell the people the move and the timing of God. God would give them the secrets, and remember when Elijah was down there giving away the secrets, and Syria was getting frustrated, and the king said, wait a minute, I got a traitor in my camp. The servant said, you don't have a traitor, king. There's a prophet down there. He knows what you even talking about in your bedchamber. Praise the Lord. My point to you is that notice this whole idea. Look, the God gives it to the priest or the prophet to give it to the congregation. Why? Because of verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Oh, I discover it. He gives it to me through a download. Then I dispense it to you through preaching and teaching. Now you get it, and now faith comes. Wow. And then that faith comes for you to be able to act on it and do what it says, for you to be able to rule and reign in this earth. So this is part of our call. So I'm just saying that's one thing. I mean, stopping storms. I mean, what do you know in the natural that can stop a storm? I don't know anything. Well, guess what? He's got something in the natural called words. And words can stop a storm. As a matter of fact, this earth was created with words. That's Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. As a matter of fact, this world is kept in order by words. That's Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. See, I'm just saying, words are the things that are running this thing. This is a word planted. Now, he says something about this because, like I said, all this comes through truth. And when you get the truth, you can see a lie. You can see the things that the enemy has done. The Bible says in Revelation 12, 9, that the enemy had deceived the whole world. Well, in this truth, God asked us over in Psalm chapter 8, he said, how long will you let these things go on? How long will you let darkness rule in this earth? Well, we are here to take over, saints of God. Let's go back to Psalm chapter 8 real quick. Psalm chapter 8. Now, are you following me what I'm saying here? Psalm chapter 8. So Jesus used words. Now, the words weren't empty. The words were filled with something called faith. They were filled with something called faith. And when Jesus released that faith, faith makes God move. Glory to God. Oh, now wait a minute. You can't make God do anything. You're not making God do anything God doesn't want to do. Faith releases God and the ability of God to do the work. Faith does that. Remember, here was Jesus. He was in the house preaching over in Mark chapter 2. And as he was preaching, you know, all of Pharisees and Sadducees were in there, packed into place, and a man came with a man who was crippled on a bed and tried to get in by the doorway and couldn't get in because all these religious folks and all their donkeys with mud flaps were outside tied up, and here they were in there, and so they went up on the roof, tore open the roof, and the Bible says when Jesus saw their faith, he healed that man. Praise God. How about the woman who had the issue of blood? Here she was. She said, if I can just touch his clothes, I'm going to be made whole. Now, the Bible says in the Amplified, she continued to say, over in Mark chapter 5, continued to say, what's coming? Faith. What does it sound like? It sounds impossible. Why? Because the doctors couldn't heal her. She'd been to many physicians, spent all the money, didn't have no more money. And here she was at home, couldn't satisfy her husband anymore, couldn't wait on the kids anymore. She was in bed all the time. Issue of blood drained all of her energy, everything gone. But she heard about Jesus, and faith cometh when you hear about him. Now, what does it sound? Impossible. touching a man's garment made whole? Ha, she began to say it. What came? Faith. All of a sudden, got up out that bed. The word brought strength to her. She didn't came outside. The man of God was going. Jesus was going with a man named Jairus to his house to get his daughter healed. And here he was going with Jairus, and all of a sudden Jesus stopped. What stopped him? Faith stopped him. See, the Father is directing the ministry of Jesus according to your faith. And he stopped. And when he stopped, this woman touched the hem of his garment, virtue flowed in, and praise God. Next thing you know, she knew in her body she was made whole. Then she sat down and told him all the truth. Now, I done had that happen. Sister want to tell you how she got over. Boy, I'm telling you, she got a hold of these teachings, and next thing I know, he set me there, and that took about 45 minutes for her to tell me. I said, sister, I got to go. You know, but my point to you is that's what happens when faith works. And then he said to her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. My Lord, your faith can make you whole. Whole in your finances, whole in your mind, whole in your business, anyway, it doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference. Faith can make it whole. Psalm chapter 8, and look what it said in verse 4. What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands, and thou hast put all things under his feet. Do you realize in terms of the authority of mankind, he's over angels. And you know, people, their minds been, because you look at angels and they think angels, I don't know, maybe they're midgets or something, maybe little, just little, you know, angels real small and so forth. Folks, I saw a movie called Transformer. I ain't talking about going to movies now, but I just saw it. I just wanted to see it. And it was about these big transformed metal men that had come into the earth and so forth and so on to do good. Now, they come in, and when they put one foot down, things would shake big. Well, I look at the fact that, hey, wait a minute. I was in a service one day, and I caught a glimpse of an angel. And here I was in the service. We're in the auditorium, and only thing I could see was up to the angel's knees. That's how tall he was in back of that speaker. That happened in Chicago on the south side. And he was that tall. His rest of his body extended up out of the building. And where we get this little thing, folks, no wonder when you see angels, you ain't scared no more. This is it, folks. I'm just saying, something's playing with our mind here. We got to shift over to faith and get this thing like it really is. Let me just give you this so we can end. So, now, let's just say this. So the enemy attacks our assignment. Now, let me just finish with this. Let's go to Mark 11, please. Mark chapter 11. And over in Mark chapter 11, we see where it says here that Jesus cursed this fig tree. And when he cursed this fig tree, they came back the next morning and saw that the tree was withered up from the roots. Now, notice what he spoke to it, words, but not just words, words filled with what? Faith, all right? Now, notice what Jesus said in verse 21, and Peter, calling to remembrance, said to him, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. And Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you've received them, and you shall have them. Now, I want you to see this, because Mark chapter 11, verse 24, Weymouth translation, Richard Francis Weymouth says this, that is why I tell you, whatever you pray and ask for, if you believe that you have received it, it shall be yours. Now, notice what's happening there. There's no sight, there's no sound, there's no feelings, there's no emotions, there's nothing in the sense realm that has to do with what you desire. Not a thing. The only thing you've got to go on is the Word of God. So, this is the way we are going to have to operate to possess our inheritance. Last scripture, Romans, please, and chapter 4 again. And over in Romans chapter 4, I want you to see this. Now, we're talking about the faith of Abraham. Look what it says in verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before whom he believed even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. So you're going to have to call things that be not as though they were. You're going to have to stay on your faith, even though you don't see anything in the natural, and stay there, because God says, if you believe that you have received it, it shall be yours. Glory to God. Look at verse 18. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might be the father of many nations? According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. So God spoke something to him, and he didn't have any natural hope. He had run out of natural hope. So he got some supernatural hope from the word of God. Verse 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. So he didn't consider his circumstances. And I'm telling you, folks, if you start considering your circumstances and considering some of that negative talk that's going on around you, if you look at television, it's talking about the economy, how bad it is, and you start considering that, it'll weaken your faith. Look at verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through what? Unbelief. Unbelief is not non-belief. Unbelief is believing something God didn't say, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform or bring it to pass. And that's where I've had victories in faith, because what God promised, he's got to bring it to pass. If I hold on to my faith, God will work. And look what it says in verse 23. Now it was not written for his sakes alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. So this wasn't written just for Abraham. This wasn't written just for the Old Testament saint. This was written for you today. It's the faith of Abraham. It's that faith that takes, not that waits. It's a faith that says, wait a minute, God's ability is mine. God's love is mine. God's peace is mine. God's wealth is mine. God's health is mine. And I'll have it if you please. That's all I got. God bless you. See you next time.